We're doing our class on the Jewish home. I don't like sensational journalism, but let's begin with a sensational story that happened in a school that I had the good fortune to teach in. It was a 12th grade class, and there was one kid who couldn't stand another kid. And for 4 years throughout their high school, he kept telling him, "I wish you died. I wish you died." And no one stopped him. And he would say, "You know, one day you should just drop dead." Now, I don't believe in too many things, but the end of the story is that in the middle of the 12th grade class, this student just dropped dead. True story. Again, it's a school I taught in. And everyone looked at it like, "Oh, no." So I'm not telling you the other student killed him. I'm not saying that. He does have to wonder, you know, he's carrying a burden with him for life. You know, my point is that sometimes little things build up in a big way. And we sometimes don't notice it. Now, little things can create a big positive. I encourage couples to have little habits, like if you agree that before you leave every day, you kiss one another. It might seem little, but it's a little thing that'll build up. That you come home at night, you sit down for 5 minutes together. 5 minutes. It's very hard. It's not as easy as you'd think. But you take 5 minutes, it's a little thing, it builds up. Little things over a period can be huge. And the first place where we can see this is even here at the Machon. If you think about it, there are people here at the Machon that are picked on in a little way. People give them a little nickname, they say a little thing, or they put on a little smile when this guy walks through the door. And theoretically it's in good humor. But in fact, the verse in Mishlei in Proverbs says, "Divrei nirgan kemitlahamim." When a person does things that are bothersome, so then it's as though like it's nothing. Vehem yoredot chadrei mavet. But ultimately it hits a person to the grave. I once spoke to a student who wasn't any great success in his learning, and socially he was trying to get by. And he said to me, "You know, I have one friend in the department." So I said, "You know, I think everyone likes you. What do you mean you have one friend?" He said, "Yeah, but they all make a nickname or they say a joke, and there's only one guy who doesn't. So he's my one friend in the department." So it struck me like, no, I never thought people were picking on him, but he did. So there are little things which we don't even notice. Sometimes it can be a snide remark over one's in-laws. Sometimes it can be a comment about a person burning the toast. And very often there become these little codes between couples that get set up over time, where you know this is referring to that. I think we discussed the story of the chocolate. You guys remember? There was a couple that got married. They were given a special chocolate that like cost $500, this little bar of chocolate. And the husband saw it before the wife did among the gifts from the wedding, and he put it aside. And he was slowly enjoying it on his own until the last day of Sheva Brachos, when his wife found it. So this became a serious topic between them for a very long time. And whenever there was a question of whether he was being self-centered, so she could throw a line, "You thought of me, right, like the chocolate, right? I didn't mean to come home late, honey. I was thinking of you all the time. I kept meaning to call, like the chocolate." Right? You know, you guys are laughing, but you can understand this will really be destructive. If now, at some point, she might mean it in good humor. I know a family that lost one of the kids passed away. And one of the siblings always found it humorous to mention it to his friends. Like whenever they'd ask, how many kids are you? So he'd say, we're 5 plus 1 that died. And then they'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to bring it up. And he just liked seeing them say, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't, you know, he'd like to do that to people, which isn't nice, you know. Maybe it's a coping thing, and maybe it's like a nice way to tease people, you know. It's a nice way to get an interesting reaction. I'm just saying there are little things we sometimes do to annoy people. We have to realize that little things build up, and we have to try to get into the habit of doing little things that build and not little things that destroy. And over time, little things that build, that's where you build big things. Now, I always feel like the time in yeshiva is a time to prepare. There's a lot to think about how to apply it. One of the questions that you've probably asked yourself, what's your responsibility in this world? Like, what are you supposed to accomplish? What are you here for? So I think there's at least one formula which I think will resonate with all of you. And it's a simple but important formula. It's a formula that we grew up on. My father used to tell us this as kids, and it's been a recurring theme, at least an aspiration, something to aspire to for me. My father always used to tell us, when you read in Tanakh about malachim, about angels, you have to remember that malach can be a human being too, right? Malach can be a messenger. And if it says God sent an angel to help Yaakov here or there, so there's a machlokes, were they actual angels or were they messengers? Well, your job or one of your tasks in this world is to be angels in other people's lives. And my father used to tell us, try to be a source of light in other people's lives. You should try to be that angel so that if he needs a blessing in his life, you will be the source of that blessing. Now this is really a concept we find in the Shas, where the Talmud says, "Megalgilin zchut al yedei zakai." God brings good things to the world through good people. And a person should try to be a source of good things to the world. So a person can ask himself, am I that for other people? If I wake up in the morning and no one had a good night, or everyone's grumpy, what am I in the crowd? Am I the one who's keeping everyone's spirits down, or am I the one that's bringing everyone's spirits up? What am I to this person who doesn't have friends, or who doesn't feel wanted? And if a person develops that habit of being a source of happiness and light in other people's lives, then he has to learn to focus it in the home. Now, I call this tiftuf. There's a method that was developed here in Israel of watering plants, where they discovered that if you have a drip system where you drip little drops of water right at a specific place where the plant grows, so then you can conserve the water. And by having these drops consistently dripping at the place where the plant grows, so then using much less water, you can bring the plant to great heights.
Drip dry irrigation?
Okay, I didn't know the English name for it. So he says it's called drip dry irrigation. So the same is true within a relationship. If we can find the places to drip our love. I think I told you guys about my friend who, by now he's a grandfather, so he's been married 25, 30 years. And last time I was at his house, which goes back a decade ago, but he was already married a decade and a half back then, he told me he never missed a day leaving his wife a note in the morning. He never missed a day, never when he was home, when he's on a business trip, okay. But he never missed a day. It's easy when you're engaged and you're all excited and your first few weeks of marriage. The question is what happens later. So these drops, these little sources of light, they build into big things. You guys are mature enough, so I'm going to tell you something I don't usually say in this class. When I learn with chatanim, one of the things I do with them is I ask them, when you have a conversation with your wife, is this the way the conversation's going to be? So he says, yeah, why not? And I say, because that's criminal. If you could be sitting at the table holding her hand, sitting next to her brushing shoulders, then why would you be sitting across the table from her? Little touch produces a big amount of affection. You walk by your spouse, you can touch and show affection. And that's important. Little words of praise, appreciation. A small word carries a big weight. I appreciate the lunch you made me. Thank you very much for folding my clothing. You know how many times we take advantage of it? We don't even think of it. We were once at Simcha. It was a family event. And we ended Shal Sudis. We ended Suda Shlishit. It was a family, Sheva Brachs or something, I don't remember. It was just like the close family. The uncles and the close family. So you have over there a bunch of husbands, a bunch of wives. And we conclude the third meal of Shabbos. So we're going to go Daven Ma'ariv. So there's a discussion. Should we make a minyan here? Or should we go to a minyan elsewhere? So one wise Alex said, he said, if we go to the minyan down the block that Davens Rabbeinu Tam, that's a segula for a miracle. So we asked him, what miracle is that a segula for? He says, look, we leave the table messy. We leave the food out. We go to that minyan far away. We daven. We come back. The house is clean. Everything's ready. Everything's finished. It's a miracle. He says, I do it every week. It works. You just go to the far away minyan. He was joking. But it's true. You walk out of the house. You come back. It's all done. Wow, it's a miracle, you know. You leave your clothes in the hamper. You come back. It's on the shelf. Wow, it, you know. Look what happened. You tell your wife, obviously my prayer worked. You know, I did the davening. Look, it worked. Yeah, okay, that's not, obviously, that's not the way to go, but it's very hard. When was the last time a person thanked his parent? When was the last time a person went into a listman and said, thank you? You know, when I was learning in Merkaz Harav, so I wrote a letter to Mr. Wall, the guy who donated the building. I felt I'm learning in the building he donated. I should express my appreciation. You know, this guy donated the building I'm learning in. He should at least know someone appreciates what he did. We take things, and we should at least try to express our appreciation. So again, the drip method, a note here, a kind word there, even a look. One of the things I marvel at is when you see older couples, you can see them looking at one another and expressing affection. They don't have to say more than that. Someone wrote about the Rebbe of Chabad. Someone wrote about the old Rebbe who was in prison in Russia. I don't remember where I read this. It must have been a Chabadnik who wrote it. But he wrote about how you could see when the Rebbe was looking at his wife and she looked at him, the affection going across the airwaves. Not in an immodest way, but nonetheless was there. So there are small things that carry a big weight. We were discussing, let's recap what we discussed. The drip, dry irrigation method, little things can create big affection over time. Even small touch, even a small word of kindness, a small word of love, a look, an expression of appreciation, a compliment. We discussed that drip, criticism, or sarcasm can be destructive. We began with the guy who kept saying, I wish you were dead, I wish you were dead. But we have to sur mira, we have to break bad habits and then create good habits. And the idea here is not just to do it here and there, but also to try and create habits where we do it. Some people sign their letters to their parents, I love you. It's a great habit. Many people go their whole lives without telling their parents, I love you. People find it very hard. The people who get into the habit can say it, and the people who don't have a very hard time saying it. But parents are yearning to hear it. They do want to hear it. So there are little habits that can have a very big impact on the other person. And when we create habits, then it's easier to be consistent, and then they have a long-term effect. I told you last week about putting the hand on the shoulder, right? Okay, so that's an example of this idea. Habits of showing affection build a great relationship. And we shouldn't underestimate the things that are small but consistent. They can destroy and they can build. And in the long run, they can help us weather the storms when things get rough, as things always do in every relationship. The little things help us keep going. One habit to break, if any of us have it, is the habit of rolling one's eyes. No, it's like When people roll their eyes, so then they're telling the other person that, oh boy, you really don't know what you're talking about. So that's a bad habit that a person should break. People sometimes have ways of scoffing at what other people say. And then there are things which we do which are cultural. And we have to reconsider whether they fit in this culture. And here we'll tap onto something we'll expand on at a later date. Bezrat Hashem. A small example. There are cultures where people say, I'm sorry. And what they mean to say is, I feel for you. And in other cultures, you only say, I'm sorry, when you did something wrong. So imagine a situation, which often happens, where a husband comes home and says, the car died on me again. And the wife says, I'm so sorry. And the husband says, I didn't blame you. Now that happens. And the wife looks at it and says, usually on the spot, we don't understand what just happened. Usually the people in the story don't know what happened. And the wife automatically starts feeling guilty because she did say, I'm sorry. So he said, I didn't blame you. So she says, yeah, but maybe I could have taken it to the mechanic earlier. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not the idea. That's not what she meant to say initially. But suddenly the conversation took that course. And people find themselves in this a lot. So we have to adapt culturally, husbands and wives, to be able to show affection and caring, even in the drip method, but in a method that's going to be culturally equal, where we express what we mean to say on the other side, here's what we mean for them to hear.